morning. How are y'all this morning? That's an old song we sang often when I was growing up. Don't sing it as much anymore, but our best. Give our best to the Lord, not just leftovers, but give him our best. Our talents may be few, these may be small, but unto him is due our best, our all. We're glad you're here on this holiday weekend. We've got a lot of our folks that are off celebrating for various reasons. And, of course, Brother Jeff is having memorial service for his mom up in West Virginia, and we want to remember him in this sad time. But remember Jeff. Want to thank you for coming today. We pray God's blessings upon you. Now, what's next week? Homecoming. Fill up those picnic baskets with all those goodies, and we'll have a great time. Lennon's group, the Towers, will be singing for the worship service, and so we look forward to them singing and sharing with us. There's still a few of those visitation cards here on the front pew. If you've run out and got some other folks you could visit, please do so this week. Or if you have somebody, you can just hand them out where you work or in your area. We appreciate you doing that. It's good to be in God's house, and we know that he's here to bless us. So let's pray. Almighty God, Lord, Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior, knowing that the gates are open, the veil has been torn, and we are welcome in your presence. And Father, we come first just to worship you, to tell you that we love you, to honor you. We come to surrender to you, Lord. We want to hear from you today. Through the music, through the prayers, through the scriptures. Father, we want to be instructed, challenged, convicted. Whatever it takes, Lord, for us to be in the center of your will, we want to be there. Father, we pray for those that are not with us today, that are in various places. We pray that you'll be with them. Encourage them, minister to them, to their needs. Lord, this is your day. We're glad and we rejoice in it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
To see each of you with us today. We are missing a lot, and we pray for their safety and good times while they're away. And let's start our service by glorifying him with We Will Glorify, singing all four verses. Stand with me.
We will glorify the Lord of glory.
some of them actually. Of course, we know what's going on today. There are no evening services and homecoming. So next Sunday, we'll be here for our special service with the Towers. So y'all be happy Leonard's back. He looked at me Wednesday night when we were here for praise team practice, and he said, "No, by the way, please carry on again Sunday." He needed to be away today, and I said, "Absolutely, no problem. We'll make it happen." But we always miss him when he's away. So bring your baskets full, as Pastor Ed's already alluded to, and let's have a good time together with our homecoming and the Towers being here, and then our meal afterwards. Looks like this Wednesday night, deacons are meeting at 7:30. So I see that one. And then we've talked about homecoming, the Towers, and our missions offering. And we did see a video about that last week, and then Pastor Ed talked to us about how important this offering is for our disaster relief. And if you watch any news at all, you will see these places that are suffering immensely, and the Baptist on Missions is able to go and help them, and we're so thankful for that. So let's put our offerings together for the month of September. Our goal for the church is $1,500. I don't think that's asking too much at all. Let's try to reach that and exceed that, hopefully. And then the offering goal overall is $2.6 million. So very much needed, I'm sure of that. Okay, is there any other announcements that we need to cover before we get into our prayer list this morning? Anything else? We got it. We're good. Okay. Do we have any additions to our prayer list today? Any praise reports? Anything at all that we need to? Yes. Very good. I was in the hallway in the back and saw a glimpse of you in Sunday school and was so happy to see that you and Miss Ruth were able to be back. Great to see you, Mr. Tony. Yes, absolutely. Is there others? Yes, Pastor Hopkins.
I want to say thanks to everyone for their prayers, the comments, yes, and telephone calls after my surgery. I've got a ways to go yet for recovery, so I ask that you continue to pray for me. But thank you all.
So good to see you back. Yes, good to have you back. Is there others that we need to remember, add to, or delete from our prayer list? Yes. J.D. Carpenter? Janie Carpenter. Okay. So we will add Janie. That would be Gail's aunt. A cousin. Okay, honey. Okay, Janie Carpenter. Are there any others? Let's definitely be in prayer for our travelers. We do have a lot away with our Keplinger family traveling for the service today, and all of our Hartzell, Linker, and Snyder family. We want to be in prayers for their safety, and we're just missing several, but it is a holiday weekend, so we do understand all of that. I do see family of Renee Thompson and Roger Hudson. I think Mr. Roger was a new just like Thursday or Friday this week that he passed. We saw that come through. Is there any others? No others. And our before we pray, we will speak on our happy birthdays. Please read those for September, and then our happy anniversary to Lionel and Tamara. Congratulations to them for September 5th. If there is no other prayer request or request at all for messages or anything, I'm going to ask if Lionel, would you have our prayer, please, this morning? all again stand and sing. We're going to sing about how much we love our Lord, how I love you. Let's sing all three verses, please.
Tonda for leading our music today. You know, growing up, I heard the expression very often. I don't hear it as much now, but I heard it growing up, especially around the football team. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. In other words, even if you got behind, the other team scored, you didn't give up and quit. You kept going. You just doubled your efforts and tried harder. You know, tomorrow being Labor Day, I'm reminded first that, you know, not all jobs are easy. Now, some of you older folks talk to me about picking cotton. Not with one of those expensive machines, but dragging a bag and picking it by hand. That would not be easy. I've plowed or cultivated when it's in the 90s, and that mule didn't want to cooperate. I've hauled hay in that kind of weather. I picked peaches when it was raining so hard that you just felt for them, because if you looked up, you couldn't see for the rain in your face. There are just times that work is hard. Sometimes marriage is hard. You have to work through some difficulties. If a couple tells me they've never had an argument, I think they're both deaf and neither one of them knows sign language. Sooner or later, you know, Pam and I would go along maybe 3 months and not have a crossword, and then something would come up. Usually it's because she wanted to buy something that we couldn't afford, and she wasn't ugly about it. She just wanted to buy it, and I'd say, honey, we can't. And, why? And we'd have a little disagreement over it. Now, I don't advise you to stay in a job or stay in a marriage where criminal activity is going on, where sexual harassment is going on, or where there is physical endangerment. I'm thinking now about a friend that worked up at Federal Pacific. Whenever there, he was an engineer of some sort, and of course they closed the plant, and he went looking for a job because he had to support his family. And he went to took a job with a, I think it was over around Denton somewhere. It was first day on the job. He as an engineer, he was not working in the plant, but he had some oversight duties, and so he walks back in the plant, and I don't remember now what he was, what they were doing and making, but they had some machinery that was cutting something, and it was really dangerous. If you weren't careful, you could lose a finger or lose a hand. But the machinery all came with a safety feature so that you weren't in danger. But my friend said somebody had disabled the safety feature on every machine so that everybody that was using one of those machines was in danger of losing body parts. He complained and to those who were over him, and they said, it's so much faster without the safety features. He said, I will not work in that condition. One and done. He worked one day and that was the end of it. He would not work in a situation where all of his co-workers were in danger. Now, with that being said, we want to look at the Bible. Being a Christian is not always easy. One of the characteristics of the New Testament Christians is that they didn't quit when the going got tough. They didn't quit when it was hard. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And we're going to go through several New Testament scriptures and just look at how when the going got tough, the tough got going. Acts 4:1, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of from the dead. Remember, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. They were arrested. They were imprisoned. When you look at verse 21 of chapter 4. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all the people glorified God for that which was done. They arrested them, they imprisoned them, but they couldn't hold them, but they threatened them. Don't even talk about Jesus and about the resurrection. Don't do it anymore. Well, when you go to verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. Now go down to verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hands to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And he goes on to say at the end of verse 31, they spake the word of God with boldness. You see the progression? Arrested, imprisoned, threatened. They go back and they go to praying. And then after they pray, the place is shaken, and they preach the word of God with boldness. You see, they didn't quit. They could have taken those threats and said, well, now, wait a minute. We best be careful. But they didn't. Go to Acts chapter 5, and we'll look at verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with them, which is the sect of the Sadducees, were filled with indignation. They laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. They arrested again, put them in jail, put them in prison. Verse 19, angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, brought them forth, and said, go stand and speak in the temple of the people all the words of thy life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. They were arrested again, imprisoned again. Angel set them free, and they go out and preach. They didn't run somewhere. They went out and preached. When you go to chapter 8, they were persecuted. And they were scattered. And verse 8:4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They were preaching the word no matter what. When you go to Acts 14, verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch of Iconium who persuaded the people, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. They stoned Paul. He was so lifeless that they could pick him up and drag him outside of the city and leave him on the city dump, so to speak. Howbeit, verse 20, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose, came into the city, and the next day he departed unto Barnabas to Derbe, and when they had preached the gospel in that city. You see, they stoned him, and they were good at that. They thought like he was dead. He rises up alive, goes right back to town, and then goes on to another city and keeps preaching. He didn't quit. Now, if you go, let's go to Paul's testimony in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you think you've had it tough, let's see how it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. And here's Paul's testimony. And he didn't really want to do it, but he said he needed to. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In laborers, more abundant. Stripes above measure. Prisons more frequent. In deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 5 times he was beaten with 39 stripes. 3 times was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. Night and day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils in waters, in perils in robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Weariness and painfulness and watchings often and hunger and thirst and fasting often and cold and nakedness. Besides these things, there without that which cometh daily upon me, the care of all the churches. Paul had it tough. They beat him. They imprisoned him. They stoned him. They run him out of town, shipwrecked. He had it tough. But Paul did not quit. Now, how do we know we didn't quit? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I'm now ready to be offered, and thine time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Look at there what Paul said. He said, I've run my race. I've gone all the way to the finish line. And there's two encouragements to us. Now, he's writing to Timothy, and he says in verse 5, says, you keep doing everything that you need to do, endure affliction, do the work of evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Do everything you need to do as a minister. Be faithful, Timothy. And then at the end, he said, God's got a crown for me, and he's also got a crown for anybody who's loving his appearing. Anybody that's in love and waiting for him to come, Jesus to come, he said, he's got a crown for him. Now, Paul, we know all that he went through, and he encourages Timothy, you be faithful. And he encourages us. He says, you run your race all the way to the end. Will we be as faithful? Will we be as faithful? You know, what causes a Christian to quit? What causes a Christian to quit? We write that 2 Timothy 4, read verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, as it departed unto Thessalonica. Christians that fall in love with the world many times give up and quit their Christianity. Over 60 years, I've seen a number of young couples. Oh, how faithful they were in church. The doors were open, they're there. And then they start getting promotions. They start getting raises. And they have more money. And they can afford this and that and the other. And before you know it, they've got a ski boat and 3 Sea-Doos and or 6 Sea-Doos and all these other things. And you don't ever see them again. They fall in love with the world. And Demas fell in love with the world, and he says, having loved this present world. Sometimes a person will get involved in politics. Sometimes they will get involved in a particular club or group, and they get excited about it. And they're so involved with whatever it is that they don't have time for the Lord. Now, another thing that causes people to quit is offense. Offense. And we won't look at the verse, but Matthew 24:10 says, in the last days, many will be offended. Many will be offended. I'm really hurt that Leonard didn't ask me to lead the music today instead of Tonda. Yeah. You know, 3 or 4 of you guys may be hurt that she called on Lionel to pray instead of you. I didn't get elected a deacon. I quit. You know, it's amazing how many people get offended. Preacher didn't shake my hand. Preacher ignored me. It's amazing how easy people are to get offended. And because they get offended, they cease to come to church. They drop out. They quit on the Lord. And I can name just about everything you can name over the years. Somebody got offended about this, that, or the other. Preacher wouldn't put me on the nominating committee. He wouldn't talk to the nominating committee and elect me the teacher of the 12-year-old boy Sunday school class. Well, I could take you to the place in the parking lot of that particular church where this guy demanded that I make him the teacher of that class. And this is long about the middle of August. And then he went to make any reasons that he wouldn't be at church, but twice till after Christmas. Do I want to make somebody the teacher of the class and he's never going to show? Not really. But he's offended because I won't get him elected. You know, it's amazing how people get offended. Another thing, if you look in the book of Revelation, to the letters to the two churches, the seven churches in chapter 2 and 3, you'll see that they, heresy, pride, tolerating sin, and people no longer serve the Lord. The New Testament Christians were faithful. They didn't allow, for the most part. Now, there were always those that backslid. There were always those that dropped out like Demas. But so many of them were faithful over the years. Revelation 2, verse 25 and 26, it says, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. He said, hold on to your commitment to the Lord. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He says, there's going to be a walk of victory, an authority for those that hold fast until the end. You're overcomers. I'm sort of like Paul. I'm reluctant to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway because I don't want anybody to pat me on the back. But hey, I've been there and I've lived it. I've had church members cuss me or curse me, whichever word you want to use, to my face. I've had a church member, or more than one, to come out before a service and demand that I resign on the spot. I've had a church member come into a deacon's meeting and start accusing me of a lot of stuff that was a lie. Fortunately, her son was chairman of deacons, and he knew the truth. And he says, Mama, be quiet and go home. I don't think he said shut up, but he may have. I've had a quote call deacons meeting, and when I got there, there were like two deacons, and all the good deacons weren't there. But another 40 or 50 people that they'd called, and they ended up chewing me out for about 4 hours. Now here's how the stupid type stuff that I was accused of. One lady took 30 minutes accusing me of a visit I didn't make. Now here's the visit I didn't make. Here's what she said. My brother's ex-wife was dying of cancer in a town that's about 30 miles away, and you didn't go see her. Now, that's just lawyerly examine that. I didn't know she had a brother. I didn't know the brother had an ex-wife. I didn't know the ex-wife was dying with cancer. I didn't know where the ex-wife lived. You know, I know a few place times the Holy Spirit would say, okay, Ananias, you go to Straight Street and you'll find Saul of Tarsus. Lord didn't say, Ed, you go to such and such a town on 123 Oak Street or something and visit. Plus, this lady never asked me to go make a visit. But boy, she sure made me look bad because I didn't make a visit. the next morning after this, I always called it a kangaroo meeting, my wife and her mom went to Kentucky to visit relatives. That night about midnight, I heard gunfire right outside the house. And I peeped out the bedroom window, and I could see the fire coming out of the barrel of the gun. Now, whether they were shooting blanks or real bullets, I don't know. But I know it was to intimidate me. I didn't tell Pam about it for 20 years. I thought, that's between me and the Lord. One more I'll tell you. One year they, at a certain church, they decided to starve me and Pam out by manipulating the budget. And we were at the point, we were thinking, you know, maybe we better sell our wedding rings and our class rings and her engagement ring. And we took some dishes out of the cabinet to see about selling to make ends meet. We never got quite that far because the Lord is so good. I'd be standing in the hall talking to somebody before church, and somebody walk up and say, what they doing? Sticking their hand in my pocket. Between church services, somebody sticking their hand in my pocket. I'd get home, I'd have fives and tens and $20. And when the people that were trying to starve us knew it, they demanded that I put that money in the church treasury. I laughed and I said, that's personal gifts. You can forget it. Now I probably tithed on it. But in the long run, I got more money than if they'd have just had a decent budget. God's got a good sense of humor. Folks, I've lived it. Nothing nearly as bad as Paul. Please understand. And what I have experienced, I'm sure Brother Jim has experienced some of it. Other pastors have experienced some of it. Some of you as Sunday school teachers or deacons have experienced some of it. But I didn't quit, and you didn't quit, because we're committed to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And when we're committed to Jesus, the other stuff is just fluff. Go with me to one other verse, or two other verses. Hebrews chapter 12. And here's our example. Now, Hebrews 11, you remember, is a great hall of fame of all the faithful believers. Verse chapter 12, verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Think about that for a moment. He says, a lot of people have run the race, and you can run it too. And then he says, keep your eye on Jesus. Because Jesus began our faith. He completes our faith. He's the one that endured the cross. He despised the shame of hanging there on that cross. And why? He says, for the joy that was set before him. Now, folks, I want you to understand this. Get it real clear. You are the joy that was set before Jesus. What does the song say? When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Or something to that effect. Jesus, on that cross, he looked to heaven. And he saw you and me saved and living with him for all of eternity. we are the joy that was set before him. And he could hang there because he said, I can see Ed in heaven. I can see you in heaven. I can see you in heaven. You are the joy. Praise the Lord that you are the joy that was set before him, and that when he hung on that cross, he could see you loving and fellowshipping with him for all of eternity. He was faithful. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Be faithful. If you're going to be a New Testament Christian, a real New Testament Christian, don't let the hard times be used by the devil to make you to give up and quit. Stay faithful and be surprised at how God blesses even in difficult times. Paul and Silas in that prison in Philippi, midnight, beaten, bleeding, but singing praises to God. And next thing you know, there's an earthquake. Philippian jailer saved, his family saved, the church is started, all because he didn't give up and quit. I encourage you, be faithful until the end. And be able to say with Paul, I have finished my course. I've run the race. I'm looking for the crown. As you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment. If there's somebody that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that. If there's someone that needs to make another decision, we invite you to come. As we sing a stanza of a hymn, would you come and just, if you need to come to the altar, if maybe you're thinking about giving up and quitting, you need to renew your commitment to the Lord. Jesus saw you as a joy set before him. Rejoice with him. As we sing, would you come? Pray that that last phrase, I'll go with him all the way, is your commitment today. Father God, we thank you for your presence. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen.